97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, two initiatives supported by members of the UNC faculty. Our guests, Alpha Cravey, who teaches geography at Carolina, and Andrew Perrin from the sociology department. Alpha, we'll start with you. You have signed on to CARE-FC. What is that, and why have you chosen to affiliate with that group?
Well, I have to say I'm not a big sports person. I've been learning about sports through the recent troubles here at UNC Chapel Hill. And when I saw this initiative that it was taking place nationally, that it hoped to put student-athletes and athletes' concerns and their voices at the forefront of this issue, I thought I needed to sign on, and so I did.
All right, CARE-FC stands for College Athletes Rights and Empowerment Faculty Coalition, a lot of alphabet soup, which we in academia seem to like, a national coalition concerned with the academic and economic mistreatment of college athletes, especially in the profit sports of football and basketball. And Andy, the other initiative is what's being called Move Carolina Forward. Mm-hmm. What is that, and why did you sign on to that?
So I signed on to that because folks that I respect were putting it together and asked for contributions and signatures from other faculty. I was originally part of the athletics reform group here at Carolina, which was looking at all the different elements of problems with athletics. I've since left that group because I feel that the level of engagement that Carolina has made through the Faculty Athletics Committee and through the Provost Working Group is so impressive that it really deserves to be recognized and understood as truly major reforms here. And so that's why I wanted to really sign my name and say, you know what, let's take a look at what we've done here to make things better at Carolina.
Alpha, going back to CARE-FC, one of the things that the mission of the group is to support college athletes in their quest to, and this is quoting, fundamentally change the existing industry, recognizing that these athletes are really employees who deserve protection as employees. So by signing on to CARE-FC, you obviously believe that to be the case.
Yes, I do. And I would say, to set myself apart from Andy's comment, that I feel these reforms are not enough here. As I said, I'm not an expert. I wasn't deeply involved as Andrew Perrin was. But in my view, they're not enough, and that the industry is deeply exploitative in terms of class processes, also race processes, and so on. So I really like the statement, and I feel like reforms here have been superficial and not at all enough.
Andy, one of the things that's part of the mission statement, if you will, of Move Carolina Forward is that the belief of the group to which you've signed your name, that the administration at UNC has been transparent and detailed, and that those who aren't following this line of thinking just continue to rehash events of the past. Mm-hmm. They're, in the words of the provost, no, actually it was one of the spokesmen for the university, they want to live in the past.
I'm not going to rehash the words of other spokespeople for the university, certainly, and I certainly don't speak for the university in any official capacity. That said, I do think that we're spending an awful lot of time reconsidering a lot of things that did go on in the past. And the reforms that have come through the working group and through the Faculty Athletics Committee, specifically on areas like admissions, on totally reforming and retooling the academic supports program for student athletes, these really do change the very sort of ways that we do business in terms of academic integrity. And I think that really deserves to be recognized and understood. Now, I do understand and I respect, honestly, the position of the CARE-FC folks that there's something dramatically wrong with college athletics in general. I don't actually agree with that position, but I respect it, and I think it's a reasonable and appropriate position. I just think that's a different question from, has Carolina responded with integrity and care to all of the terrible things and embarrassing things that went on here? And my view, having been kind of in the middle of it for a number of years now, is that generally, yes, Carolina has responded well.
Altha, I do want to pretty much keep the discussion at the 30,000-foot level and talk about systemic things across the NC2A. But we do need to address Andrew's point about what's happened here at UNC. I believe it's important to give credit where credit is due. And it appears that the university has made great strides to ensure that the kind of stuff revealed in the Weinstein Report will not happen again. But has the university dealt adequately with what did happen?
I don't feel they have, and I also feel we wasted a lot of money on the Weinstein Report and on these various reports. A lot of that information was freely available, as we can see in the recently published book, Cheated. Some of that information continues to come to light, as we see in the News and Observer articles, such as admissions through the graduate school. I mean, other kinds of things that were in the supplementary materials that I'm sure will come out eventually in the News and Observer and other places. As a faculty member, I have to say, experience these reforms as just lots more bureaucratic rules that, you know, a couple coming down each week. It's hard to keep up with what the rules are. We have IT people coming to look in our classrooms to see if we're actually there. That's really insulting. I understand they're going to put cameras in classrooms because I presume cameras are going to be cheaper than IT people. But, you know, these reforms just make things look good in my view.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with two faculty members about two different initiatives onto which they have affixed their names and their support. We're talking with Altha Cravey and Andy Perrin. Andy, let's do give credit where I think credit is due. Processes in place to ensure that the stuff that happened, as detailed in the Weinstein Report, do not happen again. The big question, I think, is what about all that happened before? I use this analogy with our student body president. I said, okay, great. You're no longer a bank robber, but you want to keep all the money that you stole when you were a bank robber. Mm-hmm. Is that a poor analogy, or does that make any sense whatsoever?
I mean, it makes some sense, and I've certainly heard that case. I have to say it's not the sort of top of my agenda. And the reason for that, honestly, is like Altha, although I enjoy sports, I enjoy watching sports, my personal concern isn't really with how many victories Carolina has or the sort of the banners hanging in the Smith Center. If it turns out that the NCAA's investigation says that the right thing to do is to remove one or more banners, I think we ought to do that. If we ought to vacate some wins, I think we ought to do that. But honestly, my concern, I think far more overriding the specifics of the athletics, is that Carolina's academic integrity is intact. And that's what really has to be the focus. So, yes, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And to the extent that that those past misdeeds are responsible for some of Carolina's athletic success, then I think we ought to, you know, we have to pay for that in whatever way is appropriate. But I don't think it's the top concern.
Altha, let's do zoom back out to 30,000 feet and talk about the system, not just UNC, but the system that is set up in such a way that it leads to, I think, the kinds of things that happen at Carolina. And you and members of CAREFC believe that there is a racial component to this. Will you explain that?
Yes. The revenue sports here on our campus, basketball, men's basketball and men's football, recruit underprepared African-American males. Not predominantly. There's a racial component both to recruiting and to who gets accepted and how that affects our are racial statistics among student body. There's a racial component also to the way this has been investigated, quite clearly stated by the Real Silent Sam Coalition and in their public event when the Weinstein Report was announced. I couldn't connect the dots any better than they did that day, but even the title of the Weinstein Report, the official narrative had already been defined by the scope in which the investigators were told, was already supposed to be about the African-American and African Studies Department. And you can look at that title, you can look at what was said at that event. And I think they were right. There's tremendous resistance to saying those things and to even talking about race, but nationally, as you suggested you'd like to say, it's a system that encourages African Americans and international students to come to the U.S. as a one way to succeed without having to do the schoolwork to get into a good university. It's a route to social mobility.
Andy, again, to give credit where credit is due, here at Carolina, there do seem to be far fewer special admits these days than there were in the past. But again, to pull out to 30,000 feet, I have heard the comparison to the plantation. I've heard the comparison to the work town, where the company town, mm-hmm. where you owe your soul to the company. Mm-hmm. Do either one of those hold water on a national scale?
I don't think they do. Of course, there's a tremendous racial component to this whole set of debates, no question at all. And I think that to the extent that we have failed, both here at Carolina and elsewhere, to give the student athletes that we recruit access to the full range of university education, I think that's breaking the deal on the part of the university. And we certainly did that at Carolina, and I think many other universities do that too. And that, given particularly here at Carolina, it's absolutely terrible that such a huge percentage of the African-American men who are admitted here are athletes. That's awful, and that needs to change. The reality is, though, that particularly with the reforms at admissions, the students that we're admitting overall are students that we have a good faith belief can actually do the work and complete their studies at Carolina. And I think that understanding this as one potential route where students, particularly African-American students who wouldn't have access to a great university education otherwise, now do, I think that's a positive thing. And I think it's something we ought to recognize as good. But it's only good insofar as the admissions that we do is credible, meaning that the students can take advantage of that university education, and that we make good on that deal once they get here, that we give them access to the full range of university education. And I think those are the things we ought to be focusing on.
Altha, I've interviewed several athletes who were involved in the initiative to have a voice at the table. They say that's what they want most, but of course the money side of it always comes up. Kane Coulter, for example, formerly of Northwestern, says it's not really the money, it's having a voice. But when you look at the just completed NC2A men's basketball tournament that generated $750 million in rights fees, and the players get no more than the cost of attendance out of that, that they see that as being inherently unfair.
Yes, it's obscene to see the coaches, nationally, it's obscene to see the kind of fees that coaches are making and the kinds of life choices that the average athlete in the game, what the limits are on their gifts and such. That's really obscene, I have to agree. And back to the point about whether the deal is broken, whether they come here, athletes, white or black or whoever, whether they have a right to that education, I would say they also have a right to speak. And I've had athletes in my class. I know that they have minders. They don't really have a right to free speech, even in everyday life. They're really separated from other students, and they're not allowed to tweet for fear that there's going to be liability or another scandal. That really, to me, shows how exploitative the system is. Not just the difference in income or gifts that the NCAA tries to regulate, but the fact that athletes either have to go along with everything that's said by their team, or speak out and take the consequences, as you know, a couple of high-profile ex-players have done, and say, "I'm no longer part of that, and I want to criticize the team."
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with two faculty members, Andy Perrin and Alf Cravey, about this system, the NC2A system, whether it's fair, whether UNC has done all it should have done or could have done to deal with issues brought up in the Weinstein Report, a very wide-ranging discussion that we're having. Andrew, effective administrative controls. What does that mean?
Gosh, I have no idea exactly what that means. That's probably one of the NCAA rules.
Well, it's actually the Move Carolina Forward, part of the mantra, if you will, that we believe it's effective administrative controls have already been put in place.
Yes. So, I'm sorry, I was identifying the phrase wrong. Yes. No, I think when we're talking about that, what we're looking at is the things that Professor Cravey noted about feeling like there's a lot of bureaucracy. And one of the things we know in sociology is that one of the ways you solve unfairness is by creating bureaucracy. And so the truth is that a faculty member and a staff member in the College of Arts and Sciences taught fake classes for a really long time. And so it is necessary, sadly, for us to make sure that faculty are teaching the classes they say they're teaching. That's terrible. I hate that fact. But there's no other possibility, given where we are. The move of the academic support system for student athletes into the directly reporting to the provost, the new director of that program, who is a tremendous professional and knows exactly what needs to be done, and the new monitoring processes for admissions, I think all of these are ways that the university has responded to the embarrassment that was the scandals of the past. So that's what I'm talking about. I think that's what we're talking about when we talk about that phrase.
Altha, again, another part of KRFC is that student athletes deserve to have collective bargaining rights. The word union strikes fear in the hearts of many people. And there are already two states, Michigan and Ohio, I believe, that have put forth state regulations prohibiting athletes from joining a union. Does that go back to your free speech argument, free association?
Absolutely. I don't think any reform is going to make me happy until they have collective bargaining rights. There's so much money involved. There's so much at stake that reforms are just going to be inadequate. And we've seen many scandals like the one we saw at UNC. We've seen them across the country, and we've seen efforts to create bureaucracy to deal with those individual problems. But we've also seen an escalation of the money in TV contracts and things. And so I think the answer is going to be collective bargaining rights.
Andy, how would you feel about collective bargaining?
I was going to say we completely agree on this one. I think everybody ought to have collective bargaining rights, including athletes. The truth is that we as faculty and we as staff don't have collective bargaining rights here in North Carolina either. And so I think there's a long way to go before that's the answer. And I'm not sure how it responds to the specific things that that go on in athletics. But that said, I think everybody needs to have collective bargaining rights, so sure, athletes ought to be part of that.
It responds to the specific things because the people who know exactly what needs to be done are the people who are putting their lives at stake in those games, who are injured every day, year after year, whose lives may hit the big time or they may not. Those are the people who can work out the actual solution. And a bunch of administrators in a room cannot do that.
All right, we have about a minute left. Leading the national conversation. I believe that's something else that we can all agree on, that UNC has the opportunity to do that.
I agree, although I think we got to do it with a level of humility, given that we've got to put our own house in order first. And so I think mostly we need to lead by example. And show, you know, I think that the decision that we've mostly come to in the faculty athletics committee and the working group is that Carolina is going to be the most transparent, most honorable institution within the system of college athletics. And I'd like us to do that. That would be great from beginning for me.
Alpha, 10 seconds, leading the conversation.
I agree with Andy. We need to lead the conversation, but not just administrators, not just the people at the top who are getting the big salaries. It should be all of us.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Alpha Cravey and Andy Perrin. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.